guys. So I was at a wedding last night. Thank you. Ari Lipsky's wedding. I'll be happy to know that he was mentioned in this year. And I was talking to one of the Talmidim, and he says to me, I said, "You look okay?" He said, "I'm a little troubled by what we did yesterday in Shir." So whatever we discussed, it was Jake. I was impressed that it wasn't that you go to Shir and you leave and that's it, over, go to college. It was that he was bothered the whole day about a particular Rashi we ended off with. And this morning also, I was talking to the various Chavrusas, and they were also bothered by other questions that we had in from Rashi from the previous day. It's nice to know the guys aren't just learning and then leaving, doing their own thing. They're learning and taking the sugyas, the shirim, along with them to, you know, thrive in the learning. So big yashkoch to all you guys. So I want to go back to that Rashi again we discussed yesterday in Shir. We developed this idea that although Rashi in the Mishnah says the basis, the reason behind Rodef was Lahatzil min Havera, Lechora, to save the Rodef from violating Havera, the kasha that Tosas had when it comes to the Nirdaf of Na'amarasa, he also says Lahatzila min Havera, to save her from the Havera. And we said, so she also violates an Avera, although she's being nanas, she's being forced into it, there's also an Avera on her part. And that was discussion, is onus rachma patre, just a putter in the punishment, but there's still a lav, or it's even a patur from the lav. And we said, Rashi thinks there is a patur and onus only, but there's still a lav. And therefore, Rashi's shita in the sugya is that not to only save the rode from the Avera, but to save anybody from the Avera. Even if it's the nirdaf violating the Avera, we're saving anybody from the Avera. That's where we left off with yesterday. Now, we have a few questions that people had asked between last night and this morning, and a question I had. So one is, let's start with this one. John asked me this morning, okay, fine, so the Na'amarasa, maybe she has an Avera. But the Ones, the Ma'anis, the guy also has an Avera, probably a greater Avera than she has. He gets a Misa. So, okay, Rashi Shita is about saving from Averas. Wouldn't it have made more sense for Rashi to say that he was saving the Ma'anis from the Avera? That'd be the more urgent Isser to prevent. Good kasha. Is Rashi just telling us the Chiddush there's also an Avera for the Na'amarasa? No, he's telling us shot in the road if we're trying to save the greatest Avera that's going to take place. It's a great kasha. Another question we have, that I wrote some of these down, is that Mayor and Jeremy were telling me this morning that if you look at Tosfos on the top, Dira Maschu Uman Na'ara Marasa, he quotes a Rashi later on. It says Rashi thinks the concern is about being pogam in the Nirdaf. It's a pagam. He quotes a Rashi who says such a thing, which is a focus on the Nirdaf. Not focus on the Rodef. When you talk about pagam, pagam is always about the result in the Nirdaf, not what the Rodef is doing. So I think Rashi is an Amun Beis. I think it's an Amun Beis. So I understand. Rashi in the Mishnah says you're saving the Rodef from an Avera, but then he tells me about the Nirdaf. Rashi tells the quotes about the pagam, the Nirdaf. And the Rashi of Hatzila min Avera, saving the Na'amarasa, the Nirdaf, from the Avera, is it about the Rodef or is it about the Nirdaf? Then we had another question, and you guys saw it inside, I put it in the Marmar Komos. Rashi and Ayin Beis Amun Beis. Back to Bab Machteres for a moment. And we said, according, the Gemara says that there's a connection, there's an equation between Rodef and Bab Machteres. We said the Rambam kind of diluted that connection, but Rashi and other Rishonim thought it was very strong. So what's the Rashi I'm interested in? The Gemara says that you're allowed to kill a Bab Machteres even on Shabbos. Why? Habmin is you shouldn't be able to kill Bab Machteres because it's like an Onesh. And you can't, Basin does not implement punishments on Shabbos. Lo Svar Eish B'chol Moshe Sechem, that's a source you can't give punishment on Shabbos. You would think Bab Machteres also. Kamash Malon, you could save the Baal Bais from the Bab Machteres on Shabbos. Midin Pikuach Nefesh. It's about saving the Nirdaf. If we equate Bab Machteres and Rodef, you're saving the Nirdaf, it's a Pikuach Nefesh. So you have some Rashi saying it's about the Nirdaf, some Rashi is about the Rodef. Which one is it about? So two answers. One answer that I initially wanted to say, before having a conversation with Meir and Jeremy. Before this, Meir, they're two dinim for Rashi. They're two elements. You want to save both. You want to save the Rodef and you want to save the Nirdef. You want to save the Rodef from the Avera and you want to save the Nirdef from the Avera that Nirdef might have and also from Pikuach Nefesh. So when it comes to Bab Machteris case, normally speaking during the week you're allowed to kill a Bab Machteris because there's a Dinonesh, you're killing the Rodef, and there's also an aspect to save the Nirdef. Comes Shabbos, Bab Machteris and Shabbos, that neutralizes the Onesh, the Rodef. You can't kill a Rodef, you can't implement an Onesh. So it leaves over one element of the Nirdef, the Pikuach Nefesh. Okay. Now comes to our sugya Rodef itself, Rodef proper, 9 Gimel. So he said, we're saving them from the Avera. So he's, for some reason he's focusing on the Rodef in the Mishnah. And the other place he focuses on the Nirdef. Now I'm not sure why he focuses on which ones when. But maybe that's one way out. They're two, Dinim, they're both elements are true. But after speaking to Mary and Jeremy, I came to another shot. I have one problem with it. A couple problems, but I think it reads very nicely. If you just look at Rashi alone, it reads very nicely. When Rashi says, "Ve'elu shematzilin oson min ha'avera," who's he talking about? He's Pashas. He's talking about preventing the Rodei from violating the Avera. But we came out with this, maybe no. You're protecting, you're saving the victim of the Avera. You're saving the Nirdef. The Nirdef is a victim of the Avera. Not preventing the Avera from taking place just as a Mais Avera. You're preventing this victim, the Nirdef, of being a victim of such a Avera. And it works very nicely, I think. And then explains why he says, Latsila min ha'Avera. You save her, you save the Na'amarasa from the Avera. Not from violating an Avera, because Pashas is an Onus, is no Avera. You're saving her from being a victim of the Avera. And that's why Tosfos says, he quotes this Rashi later on, that you, it's all about the pagam in her, an emphasis on the nirdof. Rashi and Ein Beis and Beis, Bab Machteris, it's Pikuach Nefesh. You're saving the victim, you're saving the nirdof. And when we read back to the Mishnah, the Elu Shematzilin Oson Min Havera, these are the ones you save from the Avera, not from violating the Avera, but being a victim of the Avera. That's what came out. And therefore Rashi works very nicely, smoothly through the sugya. Tosis Havim, you know. Right. See, right. So that's the one kasha you had. Very good. The one kasha you had, if you look at Rashi, Tosis Lashon, you'd assume he's quoting Rashi, he formulates Rashi as follows, or at least his understanding. Nir lafarish, dematzilin es ha'odam min ha'avera b'nafshol shel atzmo. You're saving the person from violating the avera with his own nefesh. Sounds like he's completely focusing on the Rodef. And you're saving the Rodef from violating an Avera. So, that's big kasha.
But he rejects that.
He has a kasha. So, how do you deal with that?
It's an interpretation.
Exactly. So, he's a tzarchin. So, he doesn't know. So, if we said, no, Tosus, you misunderstood Rashi. So, then Tosus wouldn't have any question. He misread Rashi. I wouldn't want to say Tosus misread Rashi. But if he's a tzarchin, so I'd rather explain Rashi instead of just leaving Tzarchin. So the way to explain Rashi is either to say the Chiddush we said yesterday, and no, there's really an Avera for the Na'arim Rasa, and it's really about the Rodef and the Nirdef, either one. Or no, you misread it. Rashi's completely about the Nirdef, the entire sugi, the whole way through. And it seems very nice. So this is a good pshat. I think it's a very good pshat to keep in mind.
Just the second Rashi, the Nafshan on the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you can read it in it, but it's not as clear as, you know, as it would be if you would say that Rashi is really focusing on the Rodef. And this is Lahari, the full Adam, right? That's Pasha talking about the Rodef. You're killing the Rodef. So then Kedei Lahatzilan Menavir. So Rashi's now switching over the subject of his whatever, what he's talking about, to the Nirdef.
It's
okay, but in Pasha's is more Rodef.
I hear.
I don't think so. I mean, how else do you want it to say? You say you kill it. You're not killing the Nirdef, you're killing the Rodef. That's obviously going to be a subject.
Right.
You kill the Rodef in order to save the Nirdef.
But that's exactly the ambiguity of the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Ve'elu hein shematzilin oson v'nafshon. You save them with their nefesh. So according to what we're saying now, everyone, not everyone, but there are many who say it's about the Nirdef, so you're saving oson, the Nirdef, with the nefesh of the Rodef. That too, it's the same subject line, but it's referring to different people. So I hear the point, but it's not necessarily a rye because, okay. But so for Shita Rashi, though, I'm not convinced either way. So we'll keep in mind either Rashi is all about the Nirduf, or maybe Rashi really has two dinim. So those are two ways we'll work with Rashi. Now, other Rishonim are a little clearer into their stance. Let's look at the Parish Mishnah. Oh, the Parish Mishnah is also, I think, a Raya, maybe like Rashi as well. The Parish Mishnah says, what's shot with Rodes? Says, Shemitzvah Aleinu, Lahatzil Zehaish, to save the Haish HaNirduf. This mitzvah is to save the Nirduf, all about the Nirduf. Miyad HaRodef, Shehu Mivakesh Lehargo. From the Rodef, who's trying to kill him? It's about Pikuach Nefesh, saving the Nirduf. Very clear in the Rambam. Look at the listen to the next few words. Oh, La'avor bo avera. I'll read it. Stop. Let me read it. One. Hamitzvah leinu lahatzil zeha isha nirdaf. Miyad harodef shu mivakish lahargo. O la'avor bo avera. We're saving the nirdaf from the rodef trying to kill him, and the rodef being la'avor bo avera. How do you understand the words la'avor bo avera?
What was the first line?
Lahatzil zeha isha nirdaf.
Yes.
Miyad harodef shehu mivakish lahargo. O la'avor bo avera.
I think this round is covering his bases for different situations. Either you have a rodev achar lahargo or the rodev achar to do an avira.
Okay, so who are you saving though?
The nirduf.
Okay, so you're saying the nirduf. I would have phrased it as follows: you're saving the nirduf from being killed or being nifgam, not from la vorba avera. The avera goes on back in the rodev. The avera doesn't go in the nirduf. Elamai. Either you're saying it's one of two ways. Same thing as Rashi. Either there's a nirduf violates the avera, even though this is being nanas, there's an avera there, or she's a victim of the avera, like we just said. Lavor, you're preventing that. You're saving the nirduf from the rodev being lavor ba'avera, from violating the avera through the nirduf, from him being this vehicle of the avera. So I think it's the same kash in the Rambam and the same two ways to read it. Now, Shita's Rambam himself, though, is somewhat challenging. He had two different impressions. You look at the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvos. Firstly, do I have it even here? No, right. Anyone have the Sefer Mitzvos? You know where it is? You had it there? Okay. Is this it here? This is Nezikin, right?
Yeah, right here.
Thanks, Shimon. So firstly, the Rambam himself in the Yad Chazaka, in Perek, in Hilchos Rutzeach, Perek Aleph, Halacha Vav, he writes, HaRodef Acher Chaver Lahargo, Afilo Haya HaRodef Katan, if the Rodef is chasing someone else, even if the Rodef's a Katan. HaRei Kol Yisrael Mitzuvin, the entire Klai Yisrael is commanded, Lahatzil HaNirdaf, to say the Nirdaf, Miyad HaRodef. That filub nafshe sharodef. Even if you kill the rodef, the whole idea is lahatzil hanirduf. Very clear, to save the nirduf. Very much like what he writes in Perish Mishnayos. The whole point is to save the nirduf from being killed or the avera. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos Asay Reish Mem Zayin, the second to last one. Reish Mem Zayin. He writes. Shetzivanu lahatzil hanirduf miyad harodef. Great, very consistent. In the Minhag HaKatzer, I can write down the Minhag HaKatzer, the Rambam, in addition to the extended perush on the mitzvahs, he also has a very shortened, abridged version. He just writes like bullet points. Reish Mem Zayin lahatzil hanirduf. To save the nirduf. I assume he writes the same thing in Hilchos Ratzeach. In the beginning of each of the section of halachas, he lists all the mitzvahs. And Lahatzil ha-nirduf, it's all about saving the nirduf. But then if you look at the Rambam in Mitzvos Lo Sa'aseh Reish Sadi Gimel, it says there's a lav, shelo lachus al nefesh ha-rodef, to not have mercy on the rodef. And he says, although normally you could only kill someone, you could only punish someone, after they violated the vera, you take them to Beis Din with Edim. However, be'ez hishtarluso, while they're being mishtadel to violate an aver. They haven't yet violated it. Uvikshu lasos, and they're trying to violate it. Comes in this mitzvah saseh, or the lo saseh, the chov aleinu, there's a requirement upon us, shemin nimnehu measos, mashalibo misave. We have to prevent him from doing it, kedei lemano min ha'avera, to prevent him from violating the avera. So in mitzvah saseh, reish mem zayin, and the yad chazaka, and peish mishnayos, it's all about saving the nirdaf. Comes along the lo saseh, reish tzad gimel, he says, to prevent from the avera. So it sounds like for the Rambam, they're really mamish tudinim. The two sources, the mitzvah saseh tells us, kill the rodef to save the nirdaf. It's about hatzalah. But the lav tells us, don't hold back. Don't hold back. You have to prevent the rodef from violating an avera. It's an emphasis of the rodef. Sounds like they're tudinim. One of the approaches we said in the Rambam, in Rashi also, tudinim. One's about killing the rodef because you prevent the avera, and one is about the nirdaf, pikuach nefesh. Everyone with me on that? Yeah? Oh, okay. And then, finally, the Rabbeinu Yona on this question. Rabbeinu Yona weighs in and says his opinion. I think it's pretty clear where he stands and the question whether it's about the rodef or the nirdaf. He writes... Right, exactly. Very clear. He says about the nirdaf. He says... Alma hatzala nirdafu. It's all about the nirdaf. He says straight out. So then he has a question, though. If it's all about the nirdaf, what's the havamina to think? The Mishnah has to tell us, if someone's being rodef to be mechal Shabbos, or to be over to Avodah Zarah, what's the havamina that you should kill them? If the whole point of rodef is saving the nirdaf, there's no nirdaf for mechal Shabbos. There's no nirdaf for Avodah Zarah. Why do you have to mention a rodef after those things? It's pashut. So he said, that's the way the Mishnah set it up that way. But no real answer. You're right, there wasn't really much of a Havamina. So what comes out is there are a range of opinions. Not a range, but there some say it's about killing the rodef to prevent him from doing an avera, and some say it's about saving the nirdaf, and perhaps they're tudinim within Rashi and the Rama. And let's just fine-tune a little bit more. When you say it's about the preventing the rodef from violating an avera, are we going to categorize that just to prevent him from violating an avera, just to save him? Or that's some level of an onesh? Is that an onesh involved? Pashas is, it's to prevent him from violating an avera, for his own good. But you could also say it's a type of onesh, it's a punishment for him. Because what does an onesh do? Normally speaking, when someone violates an avera, the onesh wipes out the avera. There's certain isurim that people don't get full kapara until misa. And it's a kapar for them. So this is an onesh that's a preemptive onesh. The goal is the same, to wipe away the avera. One's before the avera to prevent it, one's after the avera. So there might be a certain element of an onesh. And moving forward, we'll see how that might come up in a number of issues. So let's now go back to the Gemara in Ayin Beis Mubeis. We saw the Gemara again about a rodif katan. We spoke about it in regards to killing an ubar. But let's read it now and from the lens of a rodif. How does it fit into our sugya? So the Gemara on the bottom, Ayin Beis Amud Beis, says, Amar Rav Huna, Katan HaRodef Nitin La'atzila B'Nafsho. A Katan who's chasing someone else to kill him, then you're allowed to save the Nirdaf and kill the Rodef. And the Gemara says, Kasava Rodef Eino Tzar Chasra Loshna Godov Loshna Katan. It seems that you don't require Hasra in this case. A Rodef does not require Hasra. So, 2 points come from this Gemara. One is that you could kill a katan, harodif. Point two is, there's no need for hasra. So let's look at the first point for a second. Why could you kill a katan, harodif? Anyone see the Yadarma? Onshin. Right, Labar Onshin here. Then exactly. And this is explicit in the Yadarma. He says, "Afagav the katan la bar onshin hu." Even though a katan is not bar onshin, he's not worthy of punishment. He's not old enough for punishment. Yet you still kill him. Lav mishum chiyuva didehu de kol delay. It's not because the chiv, the katan, the chiv to kill a katan. Ela mishum hatzola deheyach. It's for the saving, the bikuach nefesh of the other guy, the nirdav. That's why you can knock out the katan harodif. But the katan harodif doesn't deserve any punishment, of course. It's all about the hatzola. Whoever's trying to kill him, you could save him, whatever it takes, whoever's doing it. It's all about the hatzola hasanirdav. Explicit in the Adarma. However, if you look at Rashi, I mentioned this yesterday, maybe we'll appreciate it a little bit more now. Rashi had a very, very strange line explaining this Gemara. Rashi says, Niten la tzila b'nafsho. When the katan or rodef is coming to kill, you're allowed to save the nirdaf by killing the katan. Kedid alfin l'kaman, we learn later on, Rotzeach nos niten la tzila b'nafsho, you're allowed to kill the rotzeach. V'hai afagav de katan, who, even though he's a katan, so he's a katan, you shouldn't be able to kill him. V'la bar kibul hasrahu, and he cannot accept a hasra. Legabe redifa dino kigada. He doesn't say like the Yadarma says, it's all about Hatzalas HaNirdaf. He says, because the katan's like a gadol. What does that mean, the katan's like a gadol? Onesh. Exactly. This is an onesh. And this would be very consistent with the way we understood Rashi initially yesterday, that Latzil min Avera is to prevent the rode from the Avera. There's an element of an onesh here, to wipe out, to preempt the Avera from ever occurring. It's an onesh. So that's why Rashi says, so what's pshat with the katan? Katan's like a gadol when it comes to rodif. And therefore it's an onesh. Now why that's true, how could we make a katan into rodif? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I can't explain that. It might be somewhat related to the sugas of Ben Sora Mora. We kill the katan, even though he's a katan, you can still kill the Ben Sora Mora, because what's Sofo? Nidin al-Shem Sofo. And that's similar to Bob Teres, Nidin al-Shem Sofo. And Rodev, all those things are connected. That might be part of the interplay here, why you could kill the katan. So I don't have a good explanation right now, but the fact that Rashi says katan's kigadol tells me he thinks it is an onesh. And you have to justify somehow the katan's a gadol.
So if you're saying that it's an onesh, so that means you're trying to save the Rodev?
You're trying to save, exactly. You're trying to save the Rodev.
How does that fit with the other Rashi's that you're saying that to prevent the victim?
Right, so that now, I said, moving forward, we have two pshatim in Rashi, right. So it's a big kasha. For the other, if it's all about, we said, but we have this new mahalach. One of the mahalachim we said for Rashi, it's all about the nirdaf. Then I'm not sure I explain this Rashi. I don't know. So that's why, even though it sounds very nice in Rashi, I think it's clearer to say, still based on the way Tosfos on this in Rashi, it's really more about the rodef and the onesh.
Oh, the onesh is on the rodef, not the
nirdaf? Yeah, the nirdaf didn't do anything wrong. He doesn't deserve an onesh. No, the rodef is chasing the guy to kill him. So I'm more comfortable with the two dinim within Rashi. Rodef is about an onesh, and there's also the element of pikuach nefesh in the nirdaf. So this explains that the katan is a gadol. Now, you could, if Rashi really has two dinim, he could have also explained, well, you save him, you kill the katan because you're saving the nirdaf. So within Rashi, honestly, it's not 100% clear in my head. Not 100% clear at all. These are different approaches. But there's a horror to be made that Rashi does not say what the Adarma says. He does something different. And I'm explaining the reason why he does something different is because he's saying it is an onesh. And we view the katan as a gadol. Now, so that was the first point we learned from Rav Huna, that you're allowed to kill a katan. Who's Rodef? The second halacha we learned from Rav Huna is, the Gemara learned out, that you don't need to give hasra. Because the fact you could kill a katan, and a katan can't accept hasra, he's too little to, it does not bar das to accept hasra, it must be you don't need a hasra. And he says, Bain katan or loshna gadol losha katan. The Gemara says, I'll bring you a raya. Let's skip a few lines. We did already the Yotzer Rosho. I'll bring you a raya, you don't need hasra. Name a misaile. I'll bring you the following raya, that a rodef, shahaya rodef acha chaveru lahargo, someone's chasing a friend to kill him. Omer la, you say to him, ra'a she yisrael hu. You're killing Yisrael. You can't chase after him. Uben brisu. Vat Torah amra shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishofech. Amr Torah hatzil damo shazeh be'damo shazeh. I'm allowed to kill you. How's that right? You don't need hasra. So Rashi tells us that part of hasra is that you have to accept the hasra. It's not simply warning a person, but the violator has to say, I'm accepting your hasra, I'm acknowledging your hasra, and yet still I'm going forward with the avera. There's no Kabbalah's hasra in this case, so it must B, you don't require a full-blown Hasra. The Gemara says, Hahi Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehudi. No, it's one of the Tanaim. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehudi, who doesn't require a Kabbalah Hasra. What does he say? The Tanya Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer Chaver Ein Sar Hasra. A Chaver, someone who's a learned person, doesn't require Hasra. El Lefi Shalo Nitna Hasra El Havchin Bein Shogeg Lemezid. The only reason why we require Hasra in general is to distinguish between whether someone's doing something b'mezid or b'shogeg. A chaver obviously knows what's wrong. He's obviously doing it b'mezid. So for him, you don't really require Hasra. He's the author. But maybe in general, you do need a Hasra, the Gemara thinks. Gemara brings another ayah, Toshma. Hayrodev shaya rodev acha chavero lahargo. Someone's chasing someone else to kill him. Amale says to him, Ra, Shay Yisrael, you're killing a Yisrael, Ben Brisu, Vator Amar Shovech Dama Odom, Beldom Dama Yishavech. Im Amar Yodea, and if he says, I know, Shukain, I know it's true, Potter, he's Potter. But if he says, Abmanaskain, I'm doing it in the face, in spite of this, or despite this, and Yosef Chayev, he's Chayev. So you see, you require a Hasra. Salotzicha, it's a case of dekoy betray ibri dinar, de lo matzi atzule. No, really don't need a Hasra. The case is where the rodef and the guy trying to save the nirdaf are two opposite sides of the river, and the guy can't catch the rodef. He doesn't have a gun, doesn't have an arrow. So you just warn him, realize what you're doing. And he warns him, and he kills the nirdaf anyway, so you could take in the basin because it was a good Hasra. But normally speaking, if you want to kill a rodef, you don't need a Hasra. This is a case where he couldn't catch up to the rodef. So, Ma'ika de Ba Yisrael Beidina, Beidina Ba Yisrael. He wanted to bring it to Beis Din, so for Beis Din you need a Hasra. But maybe normally for killing a road, if you don't need a Hasra. Ibais Ema, alternatively the Gemara suggests, Amr Lecha Rav Huna, Ana de Ami Ketana de Machteres, de Amr Machteras, de Yisra. So, no, Rav Huna says, I'm of the opinion that the Machteras, so that serves as a Hasra. You don't need to make an explicit Hasra. It's enough that he's aware. When you go into tunneling someone's house, if you're a rodev chasing after someone, you know that's your fair warning. What comes out from this back and forth without getting too involved in it is that there's two opinions in the Gemara whether a rodev requires a hasra or not. So Shimi pointed out correctly this morning. Mechaven to the Afika Yam in Nod Biyuda. Afika Yam says, this discussion, whether you need a Hasra or not, hinges upon this question, whether or not it's in a Din and Onesh or Hatzalas and Yerdav. You want to say it, Shimi? So if it's about Onesh, about the Rodev, it's like any other Onesh, it requires a Hasra, there are a few exceptions, but if it's about the Onesh, you require a Hasra. But if it's about Hatzalas HaNirdaf, about Bikuach Nefesh, you do what you have to do to save him. You don't have to give Hasra. That's exactly what Shimi said this morning. He was mechavin to the Nod Bihuda writes that, and so to Afigiyam. The Nod Bihuda starts off talking about, this is in Simon Samech, in Chosh Mishpat, he starts discussing the question of Aruch HaNer we saw yesterday. Aruch HaNer says it's Einon Shimin Adin. Aruch HaNer says it's not an Onesh. Killing the Rodev is not an Onesh at all. And the Nod has the same problem. It's not an Onesh. You're not talking about Onesh here. Ein Onesh Min Adim. Then he says, you know what? The Gemara in Ayin Beis, the discussion whether you require Hasra, that makes me realize that maybe it is about Onesh. Because the fact you need Hasra indicates it's about an Onesh. Once you understand there's a Hasra, and that tells you there's an Onesh, he could go back to the Gemara in Ayin Gimel and say, it's Mamash and Onesh. Ein Onesh Min Adim makes a lot of sense. That's the back and forth in the Nod Behuda and the Afikayam. Now, one other thing I want to take from this Gemara is as follows. Right now what we have, the way I'm setting it up, is an Onesh, or is it about Hatzalas HaNirdaf, Pikuach Nefesh, let's say. So, back to the Gemara we saw a couple days ago, why are you not allowed to kill the Ubar, the fetus that's coming out, that's Yotzir L'Avir Olam? Why can't you kill him? Isn't it a Rodef? The Gemara says, Mishmaya Karadfi. It's a different type of Rodef. Now look at the Rambam. You guys saw this the other day, but now, what's the reason the Rambam writes you cannot kill? Exactly. You see a difference there at all? Tivol Sha'olam. This is the way of the world. You could. The way I understood it is as follows.
Staying away from using the word road there?
Yes. Exactly. No, that was a different. That's Bab Machzor. That's a different point. We're talking about right now in Hilchos Ritzach, when the Rambam records the halacha, when the uber comes out of the, it's coming out of the mother, even though the mother's in danger, you cannot kill the uber. Why? The Gemara says because Mishmaya Karotfe. He's not a real full blown rodev. It's Mishmaim. The Rambam says no. This is Tivol Shel Olam. So I understand. The way I'm understanding is as follows. According to Rashi, why do you kill the rodev? Because he's an onesh. It's about the rodev. But Mishmaya Karadfe. What? No. Because Mishmaya Karadfe says you can't kill him. He's not a rodev. He's not deserving of a punishment. He didn't do anything wrong. Akash Baruch is making him do this. A real rodev. Say he willingly did something wrong. He's trying to kill someone. He deserves an onesh. But Mishmaya Karadfe, you can't call this ubar a rodev and deserving of an onesh. Akash Baruch is making him do this. Oh, no, forget Tav Shalom. Karish Baruch Hu, it's the Lash of the Gemara focuses on the Rodev. He can't be a Rodev. The Rambam, who's not about the Rodev, the Rambam is about the Tzolos HaNirdef. He doesn't try to justify why the Rodev is Mishamayim or not. This is Tivol Shel Olam. He stays away from the word Rodev. This is how the Karish Baruch Hu runs the world. It's a slight diuk. I can understand why you think Ram is just explaining pshat behind Mishmaya Karatfilei. It's not the best diuk, but I just thought it's different. It's interesting that Ram uses that lashon. He could have said this is a rodef mishmayim. He could have said that.
He says
kirodef. No, you meant that. Okay. No, kirodef is when the ubar is in the mother's stomach completely.
Okay.
Right. When it's outside the stomach. No, I yeah. No, it's fine. So when the baby's already outside coming out. He could have said, this is a rodef mishamayim. He doesn't say that. It's a tivol shel olam. Why does he stay away from the word rodef? Because for the Rambam, it's not about the rodef. He doesn't care what the rodef is really doing or not. He cares about whether the nirdaf is endangered. In this case, perhaps the mother is endangered, but you can't, you know, play with the way Akash Baruch Hu runs the world sometimes. This is tivol shel olam. You can't intervene. Which I mentioned the other day. It's very interesting. When is that true? When can you not intervene? Okay, now there's just one other interesting, just perhaps two dinim, there's a chilek. The Mishnah Melech quotes a Tshuvas Rivash. And the Tshuvas Rivash, in regards to this question of a Hasra, he says, depends who's killing. If the Nirduf is the one who's trying to protect himself and kill the Rodef, the Nirduf doesn't have to give a Hasra. A Cherem, if someone else is coming in the picture, and trying to kill the Rodef, he needs to first give the Hasra to the Rodef. It's a chilek, it's brought down in the Mishnah Melech. Minchas Chinuch also brings this down. Let me just take a look here for a second. I think it's in the Mitzvah Tav Resh, Os Beis, where the Minchas Chinuch discusses this. Another point also, just in terms of how we paskin, sorry. You look at different things. The Yad HaRamah paskin, like Rav Huna, you don't require Hasra. Minchas Chinuch writes, ideally you should give a Hasra. So the Machok is the Gemara, but also Machok is the paskin. So then the Minchas Chinuch, after saying you should ideally give Hasra if you can, then he quotes the Mishnah Melech, who quotes the Shuas Rivash, that depends who's doing the killing. If it's an Acher doing the killing, the Acher needs to give Hasra first. If it's the Nirduf himself who's doing the killing, the Nirduf does not need to give Hasra. So what do you think, Shah? What's the difference there? Remember, what we said, what's the machok is whether you require Hasra or not, and then apply that to the Nirduf and then to the Acherim. Again, the Rivash writes, the Nirduf does need to give Hasra. Acherim do need to give Asra.
The Nirduf does or doesn't?
The Nirduf does not need to give the Asra. Acherim do need to give the Asra.
Oh, I mean, that's clear.
Exactly. Exactly. The near death, he's in danger. He's pekuach nefesh. There's no need for him to give us, right? He's got to save himself. Perhaps from the Achaim's perspective, it's less about pekuach nefesh. I'm not sure why. And you think also should be pekuach nefesh, but there's also an element of onesh from their perspective. The near death is purely pekuach nefesh. He's trying to save his life. Achaim maybe have two dinim. Pekuach nefesh, and also the element of onesh. So, and therefore, they should ideally try to give the asura to be mekayim that aspect of onesh. If they can, it's okay to just kill them without the asura mitzad pikuach nefesh.
Isn't it just a din that the near death, or let's say the guy who, like the nahari, he's not able to give asura to the killer itself? Is that like a din?
I mean, a din.
Yeah. For the potential murderer too. Receive hasara, it can't be from the person he's about to kill.
Oh, that's what you're saying.
That was more just like,
I hear you're saying, no, Jake's suggesting that maybe the near duff, the reason why the near duff cannot give hasara to Rode, they have a very technical reason. The near duff, the hasara cannot come from the near duff, it cannot come from the victim. Hasara has to come from Edim, other people. So, that might be true in general, but when the near duff has the Billy, he's been empowered to implement the punishment, so then the Nirdaf may be allowed to give the Esra.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, don't we say we have Machteres, in the case of Machteres, or the case of God, and those things, the guy who's getting robbed has to give Esra, no?
Guy who's getting robbed has to give Esra. You said there are two opinions, the Gemara, Machteres, or Zuye Esraso?
Yeah, right, I forgot about Machteres. Chazero, and God, and Karpivo.
All those cases.
Didn't we say that the guy himself needs to?
Did we say the Baal Bais? So I don't remember. Maybe you're right. I don't remember. Did we say that? I remember the Rashi talks about this, right? But I'll take a look there. We'll take a look. Oh no, Adam. No, Adam give us Ra. Adam in that case. So maybe they're two dinim according to the Mishnah Melech, who quotes the Riv Rosh. Now, just to be honest, you look at the Riv Rosh inside, it sounds like a very technical reason that the near death doesn't give Asura. It sounds from the Riv Rosh, really ideally, the Asura should be given from the Acherim and also from the near death himself. The near death, imagine yourself in this position. You can't think about it giving Asura. You're just so busy, obviously, with trying to protect yourself and get the guy out of your house. They're very... practically, it's hard for the near death, and to put additional pressure on the near death to make sure you give Asherah before you save your life, it's very impractical. But it sounds ideally, theoretically, that you should, the near death should give it, in which case the Rivash might be saying it is an onesh across the board. It's just very difficult to implement. But from the Minchas Chinuch, it sounds to me that it might really be these two dinim. From the Achaim's perspective and the near death's perspective. Okay, so we'll stop here. You had a question on this?
No, I don't want to go back to Rashi.
Okay, so just for tomorrow.